Elliot, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing all right. We're getting ready for some early hockey here. Not for you, but 5:30 starts in the West. We like that. Like it a lot.
Why, so you can still go out after?
No. Yeah, I hit the town Monday
night.
Yeah,
that's right.
Or sleep, yeah.
Yeah, or go to bed. The Tkachuk Matthews, it's just that it's an amazing, and it is every year we find that we fall in love with rookie scores, but it is going to be a good showcase tonight as the Flames play the Leafs.
Absolutely. I know every time Calgary plays, I wake up to tweets you got to talk about Tkachuk because he deserves more praise and he deserves to be a Calder Trophy candidate. So, you know, this is the biggest stage for him, no question, against all these guys. But, I think he's definitely in the conversation. I think it's going to be tough to win.
Yeah, I would think that's...
Matthews, yeah.
And it's that Eastern bias, right, Elliot?
Center of the universe.
Yes, that's always the reason, right. Yes.
Four losses in a row for the Boston Bruins. How close are we to being done with Claude Julien?
You know, I think it's... You know, I think part of it is... He's tired of seeing his name. He's tired of seeing his name dragged around like this. I think it's about a month ago now that Don Sweeney was asked about it directly by one of their local reporters, and he kind of said, "Yeah, we're considering it." And it's very rare to hear a general manager say that about their coach on the record. And I think that Claude was upset about that. If you've been watching his quotes this week, he had one. They went to Detroit on Wednesday, and he said something like, "Let's face it, guys, this is not a contending team." That's a coach throwing it right back at his GM. I do think Boston hoped to make a trade first, but the losses are piling up, and if you look at the standings, Toronto and Ottawa have big time games in hand on them because. Boston hasn't had its break yet. So I just think that it's right there. Like, the sword is hanging over them. I just think it's a matter of time until the Bruins pull the trigger. I just wonder what they're waiting for.
I looked at the standings this morning, and I don't know why. I was shocked. It just doesn't look right, seeing Tampa Bay at the bottom of the Eastern Conference. This is a tough spot, isn't it, for Stevie Y? He's gotten a lot of credit. And he's done some very good things, but now here they are last. Johnson, Palat, and Drouin are RFAs at the end of the year. Brian Boyle's a UFA. They've got some guys in the back end, and Ben Bishop's leaving from all appearances as well. It's gone south in a hurry for Stevie Y in Tampa.
Yeah, it sure has. And we have a good setup at our work. In our area where we watch the games, we have 9 televisions, so you can kind of watch everything at once. And on Saturday night, our early games are Montreal and Buffalo and Toronto and Ottawa. But, Arizona played Tampa Bay at pretty much, pretty close to the same time. And we were watching that game, and we were like, what? Like, what is going on there? It was 2-0 Arizona quick. It was 5-1 before Tampa made it look a bit better later. And Bishop was there. And, I think that Doug Armstrong saw a couple of Tampa games last week. Armstrong and Yzerman are tight. I think we've kind of wondering what's been going on there. Could they do a Shattenkirk Bishop or is something else cooking? One guy told me on the weekend that, Tampa may not be as active as everyone thinks because Steve Yzerman could just say, our team isn't good enough. Why would I start to make moves and trade stuff away when our team isn't good enough? So I'm kind of wondering what Yzerman's thinking here. The other question to me, too, is, they've fallen apart without Stamkos. Do they reasonably believe that Stamkos is coming back? Like, the only guy who knows that is really Yzerman and probably Stamkos himself. But, that injury was pretty serious. It sounds like it was going to be pretty dicey for them to make, for him to come back in the regular season anyway. I wonder if Yzerman's looking at all this and saying, this is not the year for me to start making trades that sacrifice the future because we just don't have the team that's good enough to win.
I know here we talked about it earlier in the year. And you just had that kind of blind faith. They've played without Stamkos before. They've been fine without Stamkos before. And I don't know, would they be that much different with him in the lineup? I know he's a game changer, but is he that big of a game changer for them?
This year he has been.
Yeah.
You know, there's no question. I mean, they were right there with him, and they're nowhere without him. And it's really amazing. Their defense has kind of fallen apart. That's been a big one. You know, Yzerman is looking for a defenseman. But, you know, a lot of weird things have happened. You know, Bishop hasn't played well. And, you know, the one thing that you never know is how a person reacts to a lack of contract security, right? So Ben Bishop, you know, has always been a really good goalie. And you know what? It's the thing that's the weirdest about it to me for this year, guys, is that he's never had a ton of security. I mean, he's a guy who's been traded a lot, and he's always done really well despite it. And now here we are this year, and he doesn't have a contract. And you know what? He might be costing himself millions the way he's going right now. And, you know, I think there's something in the fact that he doesn't have a long-term deal. And now all of a sudden, too, he gets hurt, and he does get hurt a bit. And Vasilevsky, you know, hasn't looked great either. And he's the guy they want to turn the net over to. So I'm sure Yzerman and Tampa and Bishop are all looking at this like, here's a variable we didn't expect, that our goaltending would be a problem because all of a sudden Bishop doesn't have job security and he's really struggling. And Vasilevsky's got an extension this year. He's really got job security and he's also struggling. So I'm sure they're sitting there going, holy cow, like, this isn't what we were expecting.
Massacre here on Saturday, Elliot. It was ugly, and Flames fans, there's nothing worse than watching your club lose to the Oilers, never mind in that fashion, with, of course, the context of where they are in the standings. Any concern, what you pointed out to us a week ago, that Brad Treliving doesn't have a contract beyond this year, can he selling guys at the deadline to management? Like, I wonder how much, this is not a good spot for a GM to be in, right?
Well, you know, it's Nick and I were actually talking about that because we brought it up on the show on Saturday night too. And then we said after, boy, this was not the night to bring up that your general manager doesn't have a contract for next year because the team came out and was absolutely terrible. I don't think they're going to be sellers. That's just not the way that the Calgary Flames operate under their current ownership. They've never really been a team that the playoffs are the goal every year, right? So I don't see them as sellers. Besides, you know, Ryan, like, who are you going to sell?
Weidman, maybe Englund, maybe a Stajan if you could convince someone, maybe a goalie.
Well, you know, I think Weidman has been on the block for a long time. So it's not like, you know, that is, you know, it's not like a Dennis Weidman trade would come out of left field. That's something they've been trying to do for quite a while. Englund, I could see. I mean, he's coming to the end of his contract. You know, those are names that, you know, yeah, we're not talking core guys here. But, you know, at least in Weidman's case, that's been something they've been trying to do for a while. Look, I mean, as bad as it was on Saturday night and really this week, you know, you're still in the race. The thing that you're concerned about is that Nashville really appears to have woken up and they beat you this week, a team they needed to beat. And now they're back. I think they're in third place now in the Central. So that's another team you have to worry about in your wild card race and everything around there. But, you know, I just think they'll stay the course. I mean, this is a big week for them. You know, they have three Eastern games before they wrap it up for the All-Star break. But I don't see the Flames saying, hey, we're sellers, we're not going for it. That's never really historically been the way that they do business. Now, I'll fill in some context for you guys. You know, I finally said to Brad, look, I'd really like to talk about this. And he just said, you know, because I called him about Sam Bennett. I'd heard that some teams had called him on Friday or Thursday when Bennett was scratched. And you know, that's what happens. Teams are like, okay, do we have a guy available here? Like, are you guys moving him? And he told them no, and I said, okay, now I'm going to talk about the contract this weekend. You know, what do you want to say? And he says, look, I'm not going to talk about that. So I said, fine. And I reached out up the flagpole, and I was told that nobody would be commenting. But, you know, I do know somebody who knows the way Calgary thinks, and he just said to me, you know, this is the way the Flames are going to do it, and they're very comfortable doing it that way. Tree Living is not obviously as comfortable with it, but the organization is, that they're happy to do things differently, and they say it shouldn't be taken ominously. I mean, it's tough for me to say that it shouldn't be taken ominously, because when you have a league where 30 teams do it one way and one team does it differently, you know, it's never a bad thing to think differently, but in a business like this with that, that's not usually a good sign. So I don't know what the outcome is going to be here, but I do think even if Calgary makes the playoffs, I'm not 100% convinced he's going to be your GM next year.
So I'm just playing that out in my head, trying to pretend I'm Tree Living, and we've seen guys that think that the end is near, and they make trades trying to hang on to it. But he has
I don't think he's going to do that.
Okay. No, and I'm not saying he will either, but...
No, but I know what you're asking, and I don't think you're wrong in suggesting that, Rhett, because, like, I've seen that too. I think you're totally right. I just don't think he's going to do that.
Tough but spot to put your GM anything. In, though, right? I mean...
What's that?
It's a tough spot to put your GM in, because is he not trying to save his job? Like, would he mortgage some of the future he might not otherwise? Like, you're saying he wouldn't, but there's pressure there for him to try to keep his job.
Of course there's pressure, but, you know, I think you can tell. I mean, you know, I know, you know, obviously I deal with him a bit. You know, you always look at a guy's history, and it's tough to tell a guy's history because as a GM, because he's only been a GM for under 3 years, it's his first job, right? So you don't have as long a resume. But the one thing about him is, you look, he was in Arizona, which was one of the toughest situations to be to work in, because the time he was there, the league owned it for a lot of the time. So he had very firm budgets that he was dealing with there, him and Don. And I know that while Don was making the primary decisions, Maloney, Brad Tree Living was the guy who had to deal a lot with the league in terms of, hey, I've negotiated this contract with this guy. Can I get approval? And the league would say to him, well, you're $20,000 over, so you better shave it somewhere. And I think when you work under those circumstances, you're always thinking the long game. And I think his way of thinking is the long game. And the other thing, too, is, you know, let's just say that he doesn't come back. The Flames say, you know, thanks, but no thanks. We're going in a different direction. If you make some panic trade that's going to hurt your team, that's going to affect your ability to get another job. So, unfortunately, I think he's walking a line of, A, I got to win, but B, I got to be smart in case I need to polish up my resume in 5 months. So, I think my guess is, that's the way he's going to look at it. Besides, too, like, you know, when you get fired, if you get fired as a general manager or coach, it doesn't mean your resume's over. Like, how many guys have looked better or worse a year or two after they get fired based on the moves they make?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if for example, he's gone, we're going to look back at 2 years and we're still going to be judging the job he did. So I think some guys do kind of look at it that way.
Two things on the back end of that. I mean, number one, if they're waiting to see what is he going to do to salvage or ruin what he's done here between now and the trading deadline? And number two, you mentioned Don Maloney. Does his, you know, does his residency within the Flames organization, do you think that has anything to do with it?
No, I think he got hired because him and Tree Living have a good working relationship. You know, I ran into him this year. Actually, the night of the U.S. election, I was in Denver, and Arizona was there that night, actually, and he was there. I was there for an event, and we ran into each other, and I just had a chance to talk to him. And he looked so relaxed. Like, he, you know, I think you know, that the Arizona job, as I mentioned, that was a very stressful job. And also, I think in the last couple of years, there were some internal battles going on about which direction they wanted to go in. And, you know, he didn't strike me as a guy who was like, some guys, you know, they're angling for certain things and they want to do certain things. Maloney didn't strike me as a guy who was doing that. He was sitting there saying, you know what, it's nice to be in the background again and just, you know, scout and worry about that and not worry about all the other stuff. So he didn't strike me as a guy who was angling for a different position. So I wouldn't necessarily think that Calgary, I mean, maybe, like, if Tree Living does end up being out, maybe he's a guy they talk to, but he didn't strike me as a guy who was angling for that. And sometimes it's pretty obvious. So yeah, that's a no. What could he do? I don't know. Like, I mean,
I say that tongue in cheek because truly, well, how are you going to either prove you are worthy of it or prove you're not worthy with one trade deadline? I mean, you drafted Tkachuk, you walked away from some good. Yeah, there's good and bad, and every GM has that.
Every GM has their good moves and bad moves. You know what, Dean? You know what? If he loses his job, you know what hurts him the most is that they made the playoffs too quick.
Yeah. You know what? And here's the thing, Elliot, and I know the upper management bristle at this, and I know they get upset whenever we talk about it, but there has been a stigma about the Calgary Flames that it's a tough organization to work within because you get, you know, it trickles downhill, that mm-hmm. it can be tough. And I know they hate the word meddling, but that's other people's words, not mine. This mm-hmm. this will do nothing to help alleviate that. The fact that you've got a GM in a lame duck status waiting, you know, they're not that he's twisted in the wind, yeah, but this will not,
something, can he do it?
This will not help the image of that.
Well, put it this way. I didn't find this out from the current GM. Like, I realized this because other guys were saying to me, what's going on there?
Yeah. It's a bad look. It just is.
Well, it is because it's like, now, the one thing I believe is, you look at your roster, like, people always are going to say, you know, nobody's going to take that job. I don't buy that.
Right.
Like, there's only 31 jobs. A lot of people want them. And, you know, look at your roster. You know, your roster's pretty good. And it's young, and it's been very inconsistent this year. But you know what? Like, people are going to look at that and say, hey, you know, that's not a bad roster. So you're going to find people to do it. It's not like the 49ers who can't find a general manager right now. I don't think that's going to happen here. But I do think that, you know, what certain people might just say, hey, I want a structure that makes sense to me, and will you give it to me? And that is the kind of thing that I think becomes an issue.
Was that a reason why Yzerman didn't end up here? He couldn't get autonomy, or is that speculation?
Nah, I don't know if Yzerman, you know, the only one I ever heard that Yzerman took seriously before Tampa was Minnesota. And that was when Chuck Fletcher was hired. He got interviewed there, and I think he was really considering it. I don't know that Yzerman was ever serious for Calgary.
Well, I know that Treliving is on the road. Maybe you'll bump into him.
Yes, he's here today.
Yeah. Give him our best. Thanks, Elliot. We'll talk to you Friday.
You know what? I have a feeling that, yeah, you know, after we talked about it on Saturday, I'm going to be like plutonium to him today. When I go out on the skate, he's going to stay like, he's going to say, I have a restraining order. You've got to stay 1,000 feet away from me.
And I'm sure
when this happens, guys are like, uh-oh, I can't be seen with him because I'm going to be seen as the leak. So yeah, I have a feeling that I'm not even going to be allowed to get anywhere near him.
Well, yeah, I'm sure that's the only reason.
Just another restraining order.
I'm sure that's the only reason.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, man. We'll talk to you Friday.
All right, guys. Take care.
You bet.